Advent,
it's your
Adventist
life.
World Radio.
Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
My goodness, technology always touching buttons, and those buttons sometimes touch themselves. Oh, let's leave it right there. Pastor Andrew Peary, good afternoon to you. Welcome back, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us again.
Good afternoon, Naye. Thank you very much for having me on again.
So our question for today, Pastor, is why? Why were the disciples surprised by Jesus' resurrection after Jesus had told them already repeatedly to expect it?
I love this question. And I want to thank the person who asked it because it's a very thoughtful one. They were surprised because they didn't think it was going to go that way.
Okay.
The Jews had for a very long time expected a very militant Messiah who was going to redeem them from the oppression that they were under. Mm. You find this in Luke chapter 24. Let me see if I can find it. Luke chapter 24. He's walking and he finds these two gentlemen that are walking to Emmaus. One of them is named Cleopas. And, okay, so verse 20. So they are talking and he asks them, what is this they're talking about?
Right.
And then say, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know what happened in the past days? And he's like, what things? And I laugh when I read this because I'm like, Jesus was quite a character.
Yeah, 20, playing a fool, yeah.
So 20, scripture says, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, crucified him. Verse 21, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. They were expecting that Jesus was going to come and remove them from Rome's oppression, from Roman oppression. Mm. And in fact, some scholars have said that Judas did what he did, not with the thought of being a son of perdition,
okay,
but thinking that he was going to the whole process of Jesus revealing himself as the mighty savior of Israel, right, from Roman oppression.
Right.
That's why they were surprised. They were expecting a physical militant redemption from this oppression, and yet but Jesus had explained to them that it was more than physical,
right?
But I think they'd missed it.
But then again, the issue now, I think the person asking the question is about the resurrection, to the extent that we have the Thomases, who said to have doubted that he resurrected, they were shocked when the women came back and said he is arisen. Why would they be shocked of the resurrection? Granted, I can understand why they were somewhat disappointed in the means by which he did not redeem them from Roman oppression. But then the resurrection itself, why would they be surprised by him to the extent that they doubt that he is the resurrected one, Thomas wanting to put his fingers through? What's up with that? I think we just lost our line to the pastor. Pastor, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
Apologies for that.
Okay.
So the answer still is in Luke chapter 24, verse 25 this time.
Right.
Where he says to them, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? It was a matter of them believing what had been said.
Right.
They hadn't yet believed, because I don't know about your life experience, but sometimes it's easier to believe what you can see with your eyes.
Right.
Than to believe what you have to believe. Right. So they were seeing Christ suffer on the cross.
Right.
Right.
But for some reason, they couldn't remember that he had helped other people rise from the dead, that he could do it too. So when you jump to John chapter 20, 21, I think, or is it 20? Verse chapter 20, verse 27, he says to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand in here and put it in my side, into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And then he says, in the very next verse, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Right.
So it was a matter of believing. The disciples, just as much as we are, were human.
Mm-hmm.
And it was easier for them to believe what they could see with their eyes. Mm-hmm. And from this experience, they struggled to believe that Jesus would rise, especially that, you know, he had been put in a tomb with a heavy stone there.
Right.
Guards there. And that's why when Mary comes to talk to the angel, says, tell me where you've taken my master.
Right.
But Mary, you were told I would rise after 3 days.
Yeah.
What do you mean where you've taken my master? Why isn't the first thought you're getting that perhaps Jesus has indeed risen?
Right.
Yeah.
Hey.
So it was a matter of believing, which is still a very real experience for us, that we struggle to believe that God could do certain things in our lives.
You know, Fundis, after this kind of an answer, it then makes me wonder, hey, our God, Mar, the Israelites could not and did not believe, doubted repeatedly after witnessing these miracles.
Mm-hmm.
The people during Jesus' time, his close-knit friends, his buddies, his bosom buddies, his 12 selected ones, still didn't believe in the resurrection in spite of the fact that they witnessed him performing other resurrections before. They, having witnessed all of these things, witnessed God at, you know, in full display, how much more with us? Who have never witnessed Jesus, never lived with Jesus, never saw God causing the river to stand on the side and people walking through. All of these magnanimous miracles, we've never witnessed them. And we are expected to believe without having seen this stuff. And yet the people who were there with him, the 12 disciples, could not believe. And yet they saw Jesus face to face.
Yeah.
Really, isn't the expectation of our faith too much, though? Are we not expected to believe? Perhaps it's really too much to ask of people in 2024 if the guys in year one could not believe.
You know, to answer that question, I would say that the generation going before is meant to make it easier for the generation coming after.
Okay.
So you, Naye, having experienced life the way you have,
right,
having experienced God the way you have,
right,
are supposed to make it easier for your children. So make it easier for them to believe.
Okay.
I was listening back to a conversation that Zanele was having with my friend James about imaginary friends.
Right.
And I remember, I think one thing that made my relationship with God, because I think you've picked it up, it's a very radical, very crazy relationship I have with God. But what helped is that I used to play with imaginary friends. And it made it easier for me to pray when I started to learn about praying, because I was already talking to an imaginary friend.
Right.
You know, so because now I have had this experience, I can help the generation coming after me to make it easier for them to believe. John chapter 20, the same one I was reading, coming after, where he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Verse 30, he says, and truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples,
right,
which are not written in this book.
Mm.
Verse 31 says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
Right.
So basically John is saying, as a generation going before you, these things have been written so that you can believe.
Right.
So now you as Naye, or you as a listener, having experienced what you've experienced with God, you can go and help the next generation believe.
Right.
Because you've actually experienced certain aspects of God.
Okay.
So yes, it's high expectation, but for some reason, the creator of the whole world thinks it can be done.
Yeah. And how dare I even challenge that? All right.
No, it's proper to challenge it because, like, yo, it's too much, God.
Yeah.
But then when you sit with it, you're like, okay, but it's too much.
Right.
But for some reason, you think it can be done. So maybe I'll try.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, maybe okay. I'll try.
Okay.
I mean, it is Jesus who says to Jairus, when the people come and be like, oh, don't bother Master anymore. Dead. And then Jesus says, don't be afraid, only believe.
Right.
Like, that's all he's asking. Just believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Have a blessed preparation day. Can't wait for tomorrow afternoon when we engage in all these things. Thank you very much for your time, Mfundisi. See you tomorrow.
I really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right. That's how we end our conversation with Mfundisi Piri. Pastor Andrew Piri comes to join us for 2 hours from 3 up until 5 tomorrow as we engage on a plethora of issues that he will be addressing tomorrow. So perhaps I just need to sit with him this afternoon and we regulate our conversation because there's so much, oh, so much that he needs to unpack for us. And we ought to, appreciate the time he has set aside for us. And I'm really grateful that he has agreed to that. I'll give you something from Selected Voices with a track titled Masibulele, We Must Be Grateful. I am, Mfundisi, I am.